This episode of the Vision Board Podcast is brought to you by Onnit. Why Onnit, you ask? Well, here's a word from Onnit's founder and CEO, Aubrey Marcus.
You know, Onnit is a company that has the tools to improve your performance. And in whatever area that you're looking for, we have something to do it. You know, it's like going to it's the Home Depot of house repair, but instead of house repair, it's body and mind repair. You know, and it's body and mind performance enhancement. It's going to that body shop and figuring out what tools that you can apply to help make your life better.
At the Vision Board Podcast, we only promote supplements that we use ourselves, and we only use the best. To give you insights, here's Johnny.
Yeah, guys, my two favorite that I take, one, Alpha Brain. Alpha Brain really helps improve mental focus and memory, and the second one I really swear by is Shroom Tech. Shroom Tech is designed to help your body with energy and cardiovascular endurance. What's your favorite, Tristan?
Johnny, the two that I love is the Warrior Buffalo Bars. I find these delicious snacks, and they're also perfect for when I'm on the road and also on the run. Also, I love the Dolce Whey. They're grass-fed whey protein isolate, perfect for my smoothies and also my post-workout shakes. Now, guys, check out the range at www.onnit.com, and please use code word VISIONBOARD for 10% off at checkout. Now, guys, enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Tristan and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Welcome back, guys. Episode 92 of the Vision Board Podcast. I'm Tristan Cannell, and alongside me, Johnny Stofko.
What's up, everybody? Today, we're bringing something different for 2017. Episode 92 is going to be our introductory episode of our Friday recap.
Yeah, every week we're going to be bringing you a Friday recap. So Monday and Wednesday is going to be reserved for the interviews, and then Friday we're going to go a bit more freestyle, recap what's happened on the week, and just bring you a little bit more value on to end the week.
Yeah, guys, when we were doing our end of the year business discussion about where we want to take the show, we were figuring ways how to trim the sides, trim the fat around the show per se, and we figured that to keep things efficient, to keep things focused on the guests when we have the guests on, sometimes I like to ramble, sometimes TK will go on these rants as well, we figured we could save those sort of things, what we learned from our guests on the Friday episode, and keep the first two Monday, Wednesday, specifically for you guys to keep that headspace of learning from these people that we keep bringing on.
Yeah, so before we go on, Happy New Year, brother.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you too, man. You just got back. It's good to be here
Happy New Year to everyone out there. Sorry, it's been a couple of weeks. I've been away in Vietnam. So we thought, you know, we've had 90 episodes last year. So we thought, you know, we've got enough episodes that people can go back, recap, and just see what happened. And then we're going to bring it, like I said, three times a week now.
Yeah, I'm really excited. It's the second week of January, just coming to an end. We got a big 2017. We just did our goal meeting yesterday. We look at, man, just stepping everything up, everything from our production to the guests to the value that we bring to you. So we're really excited for this. I'm stoked to be back in the studio.
Yeah, I couldn't wait, man. Like, even when I was in Vietnam, all I could think about it, you know, there's still a little bit of work to do. There's a lot of guests' emails coming through in terms of still lining things up, and we've got a big 2017 ahead. Like, as they roll in, we'll tell you who's ahead, but you know, we've got some great guests coming on, and I'm absolutely stoked for 2017, because at the end of 2016, you know, we had a bumper year, and even for me, I was thinking, how many more good guests could we get on? And then it just rolled over, and I go, wow, we haven't even touched the tip yet.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
for sure,
there's so many incredible people out there in the world, and I can't wait to speak to them.
Yes, that's definitely a good case. We picked up, yeah, this game is up and down, momentum. Life is about creating opportunity. And going into December, your headspace, my headspace was, you know, where do we go from here? And then the emails kept rushing in. We were bringing on some good guests, and, you know, Jan's already packed, Feb's already packed. And we don't want to look too far ahead. We got to stay in the moment. But the biggest thing I want to do is provide the value, continue to provide things that our fans, our listeners, a lot of young coaches out there listening to the show could use. It's not like this platform, we were talking off air about, you know, one of my favorite podcasts to listen to for entertainment is the Rogan podcast.
Yeah.
But his platform, it's not an he has people on to talk, but it's not an interview style platform, sort of like, all right, we're going to bring you on, we're going to ask you feedback and advice, and you're going to answer. His is more such as around the coffee table, around the, you know, in the garage with the fire, drinking some bourbon sort of thing.
Yeah.
So the platform is different.
Oh, massively different. But at the same time, you know, he's the godfather and he's created that himself. I think there's a, you know, that's a unique show for Joe. And we're doing something a little bit different. So I think that's why we're going to do this kind of Friday recap where we kind of just have a day for ourselves to chat. And I think people will get to know us a little bit more. And I'm really excited about the Friday recap as well, man.
Yeah, this introductory Friday recap, we're going to be talking about our last two episodes, Tim Kennedy and Aubrey Marcus. Hopefully you guys have already listened to these two episodes. Tim Kennedy, as you know, UFC fighter, mixed martial artist, sniper, special ops officer in the United States military, entrepreneur, businessman, host, travels the world hunting Hitler.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing about Tim is that he does so many things. There's no excuses for you not to do things. You know what I mean? Like that excuse that how many times do you hear the person that said they wake up at 6 and they get home at 8, but they still don't have time to go to the gym and look after themselves.
Yeah.
But what's the priority? Do you know what I mean? Like, he makes things a priority. You know, I mean, everyone has 24 hours in a day. And I think Tim does it, and he does it well. His discipline just shines through, bro.
I'm glad you said that about everybody wants to do things, but the difference is people who actually take action. I'm having trouble in my life lately, guys, especially in my work environment at the health club I work at, with small talking. And I'm being serious with this one. Lately, someone will come up to me and say, you know, how's your day going? Or are you busy? And I kind of think, it takes me back, and I think to myself, I don't even, what type of question is that? That question is, you don't want to get to know me. Like, it's not a personal, do you know what I'm saying?
It's funny that you say that, because when I was in Vietnam,
I get offended by that question.
What I actually experienced was, you know, in Australia, it's hard to tell when someone asks you, hi, how are you going? It's like, whether that's genuine or not. In Vietnam, they genuinely want to know how you are. Do you know what I mean? Like, the biggest discrepancy between Australia, even the Western world, and kind of those smaller sort of Asian countries is the fact that they've got so little. Caring is a huge thing for them, and them actually asking, hi, how you going? It's actually them actually wanting to know and actually having a chat with you, because they don't get that often. So them building relationships is key over there, and it's something that I kind of want to bring home and actually be genuinely interested when I'm asking someone how they are. Is actually me not just saying, hi, how you going, and walking away from them. It's like, hi, how you going, and let's have a 5-minute chat, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's once you're aware of that, you're really able to see that intent in the questions. So, yeah, it's just something. You don't want to come off as a douchebag or kind of like bitchy, but somebody came up to me and asked me that, and I'm thinking, man, this person, we don't even speak. How do you want me to tell you how my day is?
Yeah.
I'm busy. Like, I have a lot of stuff going on. I want to do a lot of stuff. I have a lot of plans I want to do and goals I want to achieve. But if you're really serious about it, ask me something really deep. Ask me something more personal. I kind of find trouble small talking lately. But you're right with the, you know, in some countries, these developing countries, intent and care and the humanistic approach, I think that's what's got lost with the evolution of, you know, the industrial revolution and social media. All the last 300 years, we keep evolving with cities, and what we lose though is what we had in the, like, the band when we were hunters and gatherers, how we were we would do ceremonies and traditions and holding hands and dancing and things like that. Those things come off as human emotion. You don't need a lot of human emotion to press buttons on a phone. And I think that those might be some of the things as we get older and the world keeps evolving that we might have to, like, take a step back and focus on. Like, are we getting too far away from that care factor?
Yeah bro, like, I agree with you 100%. It's one of those things that I think intent's the huge thing. And that's what exactly from being on holiday and even just being back in the gym now, back in business world, is just, that's something I want to bring to the world this year, is kind of intent and having a greater intent to actually care about the people in my life and in my circle, people I interview, and just, you know, really reflecting on having it, you know, thinking them first instead of me first. So that's something I really want to bring to the table this year.
Do you find it difficult when you're on holiday to detach and just sit there? I can only imagine.
The biggest thing was, like, there was a lot of business stuff going on behind the scenes. We were trying to line up a lot of interviews still, and email was still going crazy. I needed to chat to you a couple of times because we got a few different projects that we're doing that we really want to kind of, you know, get. Well, I think one of the biggest things we do is, like, we like to create a little plan and then go after it, do you know what I mean? But when you're 8,000 million miles away, it is hard, man. And that's the worst thing is, like, I'm sure that you probably were thinking, oh, I don't want to call him, he's on holidays. At the same time, going, well, damn, I hate this space between us. And Yeah, I found it really difficult to unwind, my man.
I struggle with that as well. Even back to people asking, you know, how's your day going? Another common question is, what do you have on for the weekend? What's your week? And like the way I look at my weekend and your weekend, I'm speaking rhetorically, are two different things. I look at Saturdays and Sundays as extra days for me to take myself to the next level, doing extra work. So I have trouble unwinding on like it's Saturday morning right now, guys.
It's actually funny that you said that, right? I tell you what it is. I think when people go to the questions.
Yeah.
How are you going?
Yeah.
And what are you doing on the weekend?
Yeah.
It's because I've got nothing else to say.
Yeah. Don't talk to me then. Like, if those are your questions to me, obviously you don't know me that well, and just maybe get to know me a little bit better. I beg you for that, please.
Okay, vision board, audience, people out there.
We're going to get bombarded with how's your day going?
This is your little goal for the week. Don't ask people how they are unless you mean it. And don't ask people for sure what they're doing on the weekend unless you mean it as well. And you've got some good questions behind it.
Yeah, like when's the last time you asked a friend for advice? Think about that one. That's another rhetorical. Or when's the last time with your buddies or with your girlfriends you're out and you're speaking about things that you could learn or something that you didn't hear on the radio or you didn't see on TV or something that's interesting you or something that could help you grow? I think that is the basis of all solid relationships.
Yeah, I agree. And it is interesting just to see how it evolves. How does the relationship evolve around those two questions?
Did you check?
It's crazy.
Did you happen to see the video that went viral with Simon Sinek?
I did.
The millennial thing. What's your take on it?
It's interesting, like, because he's an interesting sort of guy. He's doing a lot of work in that sort of space. And at the same time, he did a great interview with Tom because it was something fresh.
Yeah.
And something that he really hadn't really spoken too much about. But it's one of those things that, you know, some people,
it was very one-sided.
Yeah, exactly right. You need to
generalize
two sides to a story. Like things with like technology and social media. Yeah. Like I get it. Do you know what I mean? Social media, it can be a bit of a devil if you let it be.
Yeah. It came from, in my opinion, if you guys don't know what we're talking about, it went viral a few days ago. Simon Sinek, Sinek, is being interviewed on our boy Tom Bilyeu's show Inside Quest, and it's called The Millennial Question. But it came off to me, Sinek's probably in his mid-30s, as somebody who's eight. This is how it came off to me.
Older, I reckon he's in his 40s.
Maybe he's in his 40s. It came off to me as somebody who's getting a little older and is cynical. His last name is Sinek. I don't know if that was like a pun, but
at the end of the day, I'm not a huge fan of social media, but unfortunately, it's evolved to a stage where you have to keep up with it. And it still is a good communication tool. You can use it for your business. You can use it for your personal relationships. There's a lot of different good things. There's a lot of good. I do get the fact that, you know, I take his point about things like searching for likes and people displaying, you know someone that posts like a million times a day smiling?
Yeah.
That person might not be smiling on the inside. Do you know what I mean? Like, so I get what his point is and where he's coming across with it. But you're right. He probably didn't present the other side of the story.
And placing blame, I felt too. Like if I'm a 22-year-old dude out there who's focused and committed to, finding my full potential and I hear that, I would be offended.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, I think that social media is also great for other people.
Stay connected, promote, learn.
Yeah, it's
there's two sides to each story.
Yeah, exactly. What's that that law for every action? There's a reaction. Is that what am I quoting that correctly?
Yeah. I wish we need a law book like all the laws. It's so interesting. The law of attraction, law of subtraction. But it's almost like the law of scarcity and law of abundance. It's the same law. Mm. It's just how you look at things. But back to our boy Tim Kennedy, with how he looks at things, like when he was going on the rant about things that he has done.
Guess what I started doing?
Uh-oh.
Make my bed.
Yeah, buddy. You're welcome.
It's actually interesting that because you brought it up and then he brought it up.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's
it was brought up a while ago too.
It's an interesting fact. I've actually done it this morning. I've been doing it. Even on my holidays, I've been doing it.
What's it make you feel like then?
And then it makes you feel like you've accomplished something straight off the bat.
Right off the bat.
And it's like whatever happens in the day, it's like, well, I've done that. Yeah, one thing, that little easy thing, and it's like you look at it, and I'm going, what?
There you go. See, guys, we all have three different models of learning. We're all either kinesthetic, visual, or auditory, and all of us are primary one, but have the other two as well somewhere hidden in our personality. But for one, the kinesthetics who feel the world around them to actually feel that accomplishment, that little bit of momentum in the morning, it's beneficial. For the visual learners, I'm very visual as well as auditory. Coming home, no matter how shit the day could have been or busy the day could have been or whatever, my bed's made.
Yeah.
It's like it's I left it how it was. Or it's kind of like that old philosophy, not old philosophy, the methodology of Burning Man. Is they go to this place for 10, 15 days, they bring everything they need, and on the last day they burn everything. So the idea is nothing is left behind. We don't leave anything. We leave this space how we found it.
Yeah.
And it's a metaphor on the bed thing, because if you leave the space how you found it and you don't make the bed and you come home and it's a mess, I think there's going to have some underlying subconscious layers to that, you know, in your maybe everyday life.
Yeah.
Also, if you come home and it's neat, that may have some underlying layers in your everyday life. I think there's something to that.
Yeah, actually, what I've put down now is that, so my three things I'm going to make in the, it's actually going to be four. I've already done one. Usually I have my super shake before I actually leave to the gym. So now I'm going to actually have my phone on airplane mode and not actually open it until I get to the front door of the gym.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's so
that will
tough.
Give me about probably an hour after waking, which will be good for me, instead of just it being on the phone straight up off the bed. So I'm going to make my bed.
Yep.
Going to keep that phone on airplane until I get to the gym. Going to have my super shake. And then I'm going to practice my three things of gratitude.
Yeah.
And I think that'll be a great way for me to start the day.
Yeah, dude. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm so by the book right now. I've probably been doing this exact... The thing I could get better on, though, is definitely the phone thing, the technology thing. So that's a good idea, putting on airplane. But I roll out of bed, get my magnesium, which is in a powder form, my super greens, which 88 different fruits, vegetables, probiotics, enzymes, all in one.
Yeah, I love my super greens as well.
Maca root, which is a powder as well, and I take that, and then I get ready. It takes about 6 minutes, brush my teeth, wash my face, that sort of thing, get my pack ready, make the bed, and then I'm out the door.
Yeah.
And then on the way up the street, it's usually about 5 in the morning, it's dark out, I'm literally looking at the sky, like seeing what stars are out, the moon is out, and then from there, I usually put music on, but I'm thinking about no music, see if I could go with nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah. Because I knew I, you know, it's
that's interesting.
Yeah,
I know you're a big music guy. As well.
Love music. It's like the soundtrack to my life. But I know that I feel I could use more stillness in my life. You know, checking emails, checking this, checking that. Who messaged me? Who could we interview? How's my clients? Are they on time? Who wants to train now? Who are the new people? Who wants to know about this? All of this stuff. There has to be a. You know, a give and take. There has to be the pendulum swinging both ways. So that's something I'm working on.
That's awesome, man. My morning shake, I think I've said this before, but it's pretty simple. It's just some almond milk, a scoop of whey protein, my greens formula, chia seeds, a tablespoon of peanut butter, some blueberries, and a banana.
It sounds delicious.
It is beautiful.
Yeah,
just hits every single kind of... I love my balanced meals in terms of my healthy fats, my protein, and also just a small... Well, it's a good amount of carbs, because I won't be eating again probably till after I train, which could be well after 10 o'clock. So I kind of like getting that, and then kind of have my first meal for the day after I train, which could be about 11 o'clock.
Yeah, it's one of those questions that I know you're really into. It sounds to me that you pieced together some of the shakes that you learned from in the last year. You know, we asked Algieri that question, Joe DeFranco, who is a big one.
Yeah,
that you, Moody,
a bit of a mix from
Moody gave
guys.
Us one.
Yeah, he gave us one as well.
The blueberries, but... I think, at first, yeah, a lot of people are using that for the antioxidants.
Yeah, there is.
But one of the fascinating things about that I like, we all have our different routines, and we all have our different paths to where what got us into this everyday routine. But were you taken back at all when you heard about when Tim was talking about his being like coming from a classical music family?
Well, it was. When you
How
think
awesome
about,
was that? Like, I wasn't expecting.
When
it.
You think about the way he answered our call, and Aubrey answered our call, and you think that Aubrey's had Playboy models on his wall and the classical stuff from Tim. When you think, if you didn't get that answer from them then, you'd actually probably would have... Their personality traits when we first met, you probably would have flipped that over. Tim was a bit of a joker when he first came on, and you would have think maybe he likes the Playboy bunnies on there. But
you're right.
It's totally not the case.
Tim was a bit... He has a sense of humor, but you could tell that is his...
He's a massive sense of humor.
That's his... Yeah, that's his wall. That's his way of being able to gauge where he should go on that. That's mental... balance of how he needs to give out to who he's around.
Yeah.
So like he's probably deals with all types of person, from killers, from people who've killed people, so soldiers and snipers, to educators and athletes and coaches. So he has this wide array of, you know, an invisible tool belt mentally to be able to deal with these different type of people. Aubrey, on the other hand, businessman, scholar, philosopher, he's searching, which is awesome. He's constantly posting in videos about plant-based healing, plant-based medicine. I'm really aware lately of staying in our lane on certain topics. I do like learning. And, we could have spoken, if you guys are fans of Aubrey, you know that, like, we could have spoken the whole hour on just ayahuasca. Yeah. We could have spoken the whole hour on combo medicine. But when you got a guy this valuable in terms of what he's done with business and how he can relate to you and I and how he can relate to you guys, it's not really our lane to go down that road.
Yeah, but what I really like about Aubrey, and I think people, you can sometimes get lost in this, is that everyone's got an origin story. The fact that, you know, Aubrey, he started in the addict. You know, he had to, you know, be grinding, be doing every job that you've got. And I think sometimes you can lose face of where things have to start. Do you know what I mean? Everyone thinks that you have to start as the playboy or with the big mansion or with the big office. It doesn't start like that. Do you know what I mean? It's like, do those little, I'm sure even Aubrey said it, it was like, you know, that those first years were incredible. Despite the fact that he's built this incredible company with this incredible environment for his employees, he's got an unbelievable office. I would never leave that office.
No way, man. This is like the consummate man cave. It has everything. It's probably now I'm awful with feet and meters. It's probably the size of a Target. So I would say, would that be larger or smaller than 100,000 square feet?
It's pretty big.
Yeah, so it's huge.
No, I don't know if it's 100,000 square feet. Because I think Joe DeFranco's gym is 1,000 square feet. And it's probably about the size of that.
You think so? Hold on. Do you know how many rooms he has in on
it? Oh, you mean the entire facility? Sorry, buddy.
The entire facility is.
Yeah, you probably say 100,000.
It's huge. He has a cryo room for cryotherapy, a float room. He has obviously a training and activity room, training athletic performance center in that. He has his podcast studio, his studio. He has his design studio for all the creative work. They actually just released the Marvel kettlebells, which we actually saw when we were down there in June. They were testing.
Cool.
Yeah, we saw the demos, and as I was doing my Snapchat in the creative room, they made it a really strong point to stay away from the Marvel kettlebells. Don't show the people those yet.
Yeah, they're secrets.
And I just saw that they boosted them last week. They got your Captain America kettlebells, et cetera, et cetera. But Aubrey, I mean, whenever you build something like this, it, like you said, it has to start from nothing. And when you get it to a certain state, it becomes like your wife, or your son,
baby.
Yeah, it becomes your baby, and you really want to protect it. Mm-hmm. And I like the way you can see it in his eyes when we're speaking to him, how he speaks about his brand. He's very proud of his brand.
Oh.
I love that sound bit he gave us, which you guys will be hearing more and more of when we asked him the question about, you know, all things aside, what is on it to you? What does on it mean to you? And he says, on it is going to that body shop. You know, that was pretty cool.
That was an awesome one.
It was pretty interesting. Pretty interesting perspective on how he thinks about his company.
But yeah, even the comparison between the two, I was just writing a few notes before. It's like, it just comes back to those same things, you know, dedication, sacrifice, hard work. There was a path for both guys. You know, Tim just didn't become a special forces guy. You know, there was tests along the way. There was huge, I think it was a 10-year process for him to actually become it. So it's huge, both guys, you know. It's not an overnight process. It's getting a process every day to get towards there. Which, I mean, every goal has a process, and I think people just kind of lack that process, you know.
I think another underlying important fact is when you take these individuals and compartmentalize what they do separately, you see that some of these people are searching. That's what's their fire inside them, what allows them to keep going. They're searching for answers. They're searching for that full potential. They're searching to please somebody. And then you have the other people who are questioning. You know, they're questioning everything. They have their mission statement. They know what they want to achieve. But what's allowing them to keep pushing forward is they're questioning what's been done before them and how could they do it better, systematically better, logically, things like that. I think Aubrey is more of one of those questioning types.
Yeah.
He's always questioning for you. You're not just going to sit down with Aubrey and say this is a fact and he's going to believe you.
You kind of want to do your own research and find your own way. So I think that's great. And I think getting better every day is a huge thing. So
every day, I'm really fascinated with this. You know, the potential. Yeah, chopping wood.
The potential for you to get better every day at a little thing
Yeah.
Think about the accumulation over 365 days. Like, that's huge. And I think that's another lack of focus from... I do it. Everyone does it. In fact, if you focus just on those little goals every day, instead of those big goals, just looking at them every day, I think you would actually achieve them a lot quicker.
Yeah, and then the potential has two different edges to that sword. The potential of the day itself, and then the potential within you.
Yeah.
So you have two different modalities of potential you could play with each day. If you're really interested, if you really want to have fun, if you really want to achieve a lot of great things in your life, you could take both of those. You could reflect on the day in front of you, the day that you're sitting in right now, and look at it as, you know, the law of abundance, which we mentioned earlier. Oh my God, there's so much potential here in front of me to create something, to write something, to help people, whatever that may be. And then you could look at within you intrinsically and say, how much potential can I reach today? Yeah. How much can I get towards, how close can I get to my full potential?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm really interested in lately. And it's interesting to hear the answers we get from your Tim Kennedys, your Aubrey Marcuses of the world with questions like that.
Yeah, that's what we're going to be doing week by week. So, guys, we hope you took away a few things. You know, we gave you a morning routine. Comparison of the two boys, about not only just goal setting, but about that process. So, guys, try to establish that. Let us know what you think. I would love to hear from you. So send us a quick email if you want to chat about things that we talked about today at info@thevisionboardpodcast.com or hit us up on our social medias. Johnny, you're...
Yeah, you can find me, Johnny Stofko, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Also, guys, if you go to my website, I put those ebooks up there, johnnystofko.com. They're free. Just go there. You'll have your morning ritual. You'll have your I did a little one on sensory deprivation, basically a how-to manual if you've never floated, what you can learn from. And then also an inspiration book with photography and quotes, things like that. Takes 5 seconds. JohnnyStofko.com.
Awesome. I'm Tristan Cannell Fitness on all my social media channels, so check that out, or TristanCannellFitness.com. Now, just before we go, Johnny, I was just going to ask your opinion on we had some great fights to end the year. I just wanted to know, from a male perspective and a female perspective, I'm pretty sure that we both will agree that Amanda Nunes was the female fighter of the year.
Yes.
Male one's a little bit interesting because, like, I think Conor McGregor did a great job, but he did lose a fight this year, didn't he?
He did lose a fight, and he retired. Yeah. People were sleeping on – he had some bad PR.
So the fact that he's 2-1 this year, I actually think Cody Garbrandt's actually the fighter of the year. When you think – my explanation behind that is – he was unranked at the start of the year, and he beat an absolute icon on, what day was it, the 30th of December? Was
Dom Cruz.
31st of December.
Did you, hell of a fight.
And he dropped him how many times?
Hell of a fight. Talk, dude, that was a great fight.
He's a youngster. How old is he?
He's an Ohio boy, too. Now, Garbrandt's, I think, 28.
Good on him, but, like, represent I love Ohio. Sort of things. When people say you can't do something,
yeah,
and he goes in there and absolutely smokes him.
The way he did it, though, like the way he did, Dom wasn't prepared for that footwork. Dom wasn't prepared for that movement. You got to realize Dom was 7-0 against Team Alpha Male. So he's fought those guys. I think he lost once to Uriah in the WEC 8 years ago.
Yeah.
But with the new with the coach up at Alpha Male, they've seen Dominic 7 different times, and Dominic has stored to them. But the game plan for Cody was footwork, his head movement, his feints, and Dom didn't know what to do.
He's a great boxer too, isn't he? He had a really big amateur career.
And you could tell, because all Cody did was footwork and counter Dom. But Dom has a chin. I actually liked Dom more through that loss than I did before.
But how good is it set up a rematch with him? And then TJ looked great as well. So
I don't think they're going to do the rematch. I think they're going to do TJ versus Cody.
But do you think that's a dangerous fight for Cody?
Oh, dude, TJ will be the champion.
That's what I mean. I love TJ.
TJ looked amazing against Hands of Stone Lineker.
Then we might never, the way the world works, you might never see the actual rematch because
it might not happen. Dom's older now.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, Dom fights TJ again.
I think what they're going to do is go.
Eliminator, maybe.
I think TJ will fight Cody for the belt, and then Dom will fight
Lineker.
Either Lineker or there's another. Who am I not thinking of? But something along those lines. Maybe I'd like to see Lineker versus Dom. That'd be a good fight.
Cool fight.
But to answer your question for Fighter of the Year, it could have gone to. I'm a homer. You know that. I like Stipe as my Fighter of the Year. Yeah, heavyweight champ, boy.
First heavyweight champ.
Yeah, Cleveland, yeah, Ohio, well. Croatia, Hrvatska, but it could have been him. Who, dude, DJ, Demetrius Johnson, in my opinion, pound for pound, one of the best fighters in the world. He gets a lot of heat only because
it was a little bit disappointing last fight.
125. It was a good fight.
It was a great fight.
He got tested, and he had a lot of media. That was the first time in his career.
I think it's very hard for him because the competition.
He's a family guy
too.
Yeah, he's a family. So you had your. It wasn't like a clear cut. Did Conor win the fight of the year?
I think he might have.
See, you got to see too, man. The thing I'm starting to pay attention to nothing against McGregor, man. He's always been one of my favorite guys. I was a fan of him before he was in the UFC. He's a big law of attraction dude, and it was only 3-4 years ago where the guy was on government funding. The thing about Conor, which I really like, is that he's always said what he's wanted, and he's done it. And that's our show's the vision board, and that's what he's done.
He's created himself a vision.
But sure. you got to look at the support he gets from his company, because when you because they know he's the biggest draw. He's created that, but to be in the runnings for a title shot at 155 after you lost the 170 to Nate for the non-title, and most people, you know, half and half, the jury's still out on it. Did he really beat Nate the second time? Was Nate feigning with those knockdowns? Was he wanting him to bait him to get him to the ground? Mm. But all that being said, Conor's one of the best in the world. Who are we missing? Let's go. Bisping, 38 years old, knocking Bisping out Luke Rockhold. Maybe he got it. I'd have to look.
Maybe Michael. I think, yeah, actually, maybe Michael won it.
I'd have to look. I would give it to Bisping.
He beat Rockhold, and then
he beat Anderson Silva.
Anderson Silva.
Yeah, after he got that knee, dude.
That's
Bisping's a savage.
He is a savage.
I underrate. You know what? I undervalued him back in the day because I felt like he wasn't a finisher.
He's a true fighter, though.
Yeah.
He gets in there. But he can bang.
He could bang. He can
box a little bit, too.
And he has a torn retina. You know that, right?
Yeah.
He has a – he fights –
he can't see out of that eye?
Slightly. He has to see enough to where the Las Vegas and the governing bodies, the commissions, they give him
– completely blind.
They give him the go-ahead. What they do is they inject this fluid into his cornea to allow it to float and see. But I guess the surgery that he's going to have is after he retires, and then it'll be 100%. But it's too risky right now where his career is. And what I've also heard is that with the evolution of science and medicine, they're not too far off from being able to do like a whole surgery to fix it.
Restore
it, yeah. Yeah. But he's 37, 38. He can't afford a year out of the game. He's peaked. He's peaking.
You know what really actually worries me about Michael Bisping? He's been doing movies and stuff.
Yeah.
Like losing that focus. I think Conor McGregor does it right. No one gets offered more deals than Conor McGregor, yet he takes none of them. And that's because of focus. Do you know what I mean? Like, to be a movie star and a fighter, have a look what happened to Ronda Rousey. It's the fact that she was more busy doing movies instead of... You know how quickly the UFC is. UFC is such a small...
Here today, gone tomorrow.
Short lifespan of sport. That the fact is, the competition catches up to you so quickly.
Yep, you lose one fight.
Over the last 2 years, Ronda has lost her edge. Not because she's not a great fighter. She's the greatest women's fighter of all time still. But over the last 2 years, her focus was totally on movies and creating that sort of career that she forgot that she needed to continue to evolve. And then you saw Amanda Nunes come through. Misha Tate had the eye of the tiger for about a year. And then obviously she lost it too. She's an aging fighter, and I'm pretty sure the same thing happened to her as well. But do you get what I mean by that? That they lose focus, and it's such a competitive sport that the inches are just so small.
I think I agree. I think the difference between Misha and Ronda is the distraction was definitely Hollywood. She was chasing the dollars. She had all these offers coming at her. And a lot of times, you don't prepare to be famous. You're prepared to get to where you want to. You prepare to be champ. And I think that was Misha. Misha's one goal was to be women's bantamweight champion. And she achieved that goal, tapping out Holly. It was one of the best finishes you'll ever see. And once you get to that, though, now what?
Where's the next?
How do you find that? How do you dig again? How do you train again? How do you get back in that camp? Unless you have to be a special person, a special fighter, to want to continuously to do that.
But you're right. What was the goal after that? Like, she was never going to move up in weight and fight Cyborg. And then the next one was, can you beat
Ronda?
Ronda's.
Could you beat Ronda?
Can you beat Ronda? Or could you beat a winning streak? And she wouldn't have enough time to beat a winning streak. So then you'd come back to, can you fight Ronda? And then...
I think Misha's only 31. She might be 30 or 30. She's not that old. But she's been fighting for 10 years.
Yeah.
She's a legend. Dude, she's a pioneer of women's MMA.
I love her.
Yeah, she's awesome. It was good. Yeah, you do love her. Who doesn't, man? She's definitely not... she's definitely easy to look at. But back to... where were we? I lost track
with...
Fight of the year, but if you go back to our episodes, this is me being my ego's coming to play. I think it was episode 15 or 16. If somebody wants to pull this sound bit out, I'd love for you to do it. But this was right before UFC Melbourne. It was right before she fought Holly. So I guess it might not be on record because we didn't start the show until the second week of December.
Yeah.
But I called this because Amanda just beat. She had just beat. I don't know if it wasn't Kat.
She smoked someone.
Letourneau. Oh, right. I think it was Letourneau.
Didn't she decision someone to get the number one?
She smoked right? McMahon. She smoked Sarah McMahon. And I was like, man, and this was in November when Ronda was at the height. It was Invincible Ronda. Mm. And I was like, man, I don't know. I was like, Amanda Nunes, her striking and her black belt on the ground, Ronda's one-dimensional, in my opinion.
I remember being at your house.
I was like, Amanda could beat her.
Wasn't there a fight where Amanda went to the cards?
Yeah.
Because it was a safe win to get the number one?
Yeah, that was against...
And then people thought that because of that, Misha was going to smoke her.
Yeah.
But, like, literally, I can kind of see where the
Rocky?
Mindset
was
is.
That against Pennington?
I think it might have been.
It was either Rocky or... Yeah, we'd have to bring we need a stat boy.
She just kind of just cruised to the win. So I think people underplayed how good she was.
Yeah.
And then she got in the ring. She's so strong, man.
She throws punches like a dude.
She spars with men, doesn't she?
Down in ATT, man. Her striking is scary. She hits so hard.
Those Brazilian girls are unbelievable.
Her career changed. This is a similar scenario, I feel, with TJ and Amanda. When Amanda left Brazil and went to ATT, she became a champ. The best thing for TJ was to leave Alpha and go with Dwayne Ludwig, because TJ was just a wrestler. He goes to train with Bang Ludwig, a Muay Thai legend who learned from Boss Rutten, and he turned into a champion. He added those elements of skill. I think that's what always hurt Uriah. I was a huge Uriah Faber fan. He's actually the guy who got me back into MMA. I was on a sabbatical from MMA from about 2001 to 2006 because my childhood buddy was making a title run in boxing. So I was just paying attention to boxing. But the WEC had a young kid in 06, California kid Uriah, and he was just a wrestler. But he was beating people up with headlocks and chokes and his hands. And in 2016, we watched him retire, and he was still the exact same fighter. He didn't evolve. In those 10 years, his style, and those are all those guys' style at Alpha Male.
Yeah.
I think it's important to be able to identify if you have holes in your game, you should put ego aside and take a step out of that comfort zone and want to learn from a different coach.
Yeah.
Ronda, perfect example. With Edmund, she needs to get out of there if she wants to fight.
But I don't know. I think it's just, it's gone.
Imagine her with Ludwig. Imagine Ronda if she goes straight with Dwayne.
She could go to another gym, but bro, it's just come to a stage where the evolution of a champion is.
Didn't Tyson have to leave?
He was never the same.
After he left, who was his...
Well, he started with Atlas. Cuss, and then Cuss died.
But who were the two
then,
he stayed with?
Rooney. And then... But he went through trainer after trainer after trainer, because no one was Cuss, man.
But Rooney was Cuss's disciple.
Still, no one was Cuss.
Rooney was with Mike since he was a kid.
Yeah.
Did he leave him?
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
It's interesting. No, but
Cuss was a father. Cuss was that emotional and psychological father that Mike never had.
So I think for his own shortcomings.
Floyd Patterson, too, though. Yeah. Cuss was... Do you know that? Before Mike, there was Floyd, and that was Cuss's coach. Cuss D'Amato, man.
It's interesting, like, because for all his shortcomings as a coach, there must be something behind the scenes that Ronda really values, whether it's a motivational factor or the fact there must be something good that he does for her.
He gave her a shot. When she first went, I think she was in her late teens. She said she was homeless, but she was living out of her car. She was detached from her mother, and she went to Glendale Boxing Club in L.A., and that's Edmund's gym. She wanted to learn, and they initially told her no.
Yeah.
So that rejection.
I think people overplay sometimes the skills that they can teach you. Sometimes it's other things. Like, for example, when you think about someone like Joe Calzaghe. So
He's a killer.
The greatest super middleweight of all time, right? So Joe Calzaghe was trained by his father. His father never boxed a day in his life.
It's a great story. I didn't know that.
So
his father never boxed
a day in his life.
Kelly was supposed to fight Calzaghe in 2008. That fight never happened.
Fight. Yeah. That would have been Styles mate fight. That would have been a great fight.
A great fight, man. I wish we had a time machine.
Calzaghe would have been on the outside,
and Kelly would have stayed right in the pocket, just thrown that jab.
Kelly's just always a puncher's chance. So that would have been
that division in 2007, 2008 when Kelly was a champ. You had Jermaine Taylor, Edson Miranda. You had Sergio.
Well, when you think about all this time now, division. Right? So when you, for example, Anthony Mundine won the title in 2009.
Wow.
Kelly could have easily come over to Sydney and fought. I think there was even talks.
Were they talking about it?
Kelly would have only had to come up three. Well, what is it?
He fought at 160.
70, yeah, 72 kilos. It would have just been the division up. So it was 76.1. So
no, Kelly fought at 160.
Yes, what I mean. So 72
kilos is one.
Yep. Jump up when you think he fought B-Hop 170.
170. He was
so that's
too
even
big.
A little bit higher than that. So yeah. Thinking about the Kelly, it would be
I would have loved to see that fight.
That. Yeah.
Fuck, I wish we had a time machine. A chalk
that's
in
another,
his prime.
That's another
first Kelly in his prime.
Make fight.
Man, that would have been awesome.
Fantastic to see. But unfortunately.
Who else did we have? We had Abraham, Paul Williams. Dude, there were. Who was the kid from England? It was Frock.
Carl Frosch. Mikhail Kessler.
He was undefeated. That division, I think that was the golden age of that division.
Because we had Danny Green and Anthony Mundine in the same division, it's super middleweight. That's why we took such a good interest in it, is because, you know,
yeah.
the boys were in there. So
yeah.
It was an amazing sort of, it was like,
I think that was a golden time of that division.
It was because super middleweight was such an underrated division because middleweight was so strong for a long time because they went from Roy Jones to James Toney to B-Hop.
Yeah.
So there was always a high-profile guy in there, and the super middleweight was, there was a lot of European champs.
Yep.
And then some of the Aussies took over. So it was away from America, so it kind of got pushed under. So it was amazing because we got to see it firsthand because we were involved in that sort of following the boys.
I'm glad you brought up James Toney, who was a super middleweight. He fought at heavyweight, and to this day, people talk about James Toney as being like one of the greatest fighters of all time. Have you ever read much about Toney when he was in his prime? His skill set?
So this guy's 5'10". I was watching, actually, I was on YouTube the other day. Talking shit to these 6'4", 250-pound guys. Absolutely talking shit. The guy's out of shape, and he's killing him.
Yeah, dude.
Like, got a pot belly going on, and I'm going, James, what is going on, brother?
If you guys want some good entertainment, go to YouTube and just YouTube search James Toney sparring or James Toney fights. This guy had the potential of being one of the greatest fighters ever. He just couldn't control his weight. Weight was always an issue with that guy and his cardio and conditioning. But when it comes to skill sets and baiting people and setting things up, He was so fun to watch.
Guys, I think we've left you with plenty today. I hope you enjoyed the first Friday wrap-up show. We'll be doing that, like I said, every Friday. Next week, we've got a bit of a treat for you. We've got this is actually one that Johnny had to do by himself. We've got Dr. John DeMartini, which is a great catch. Johnny interviewed him last week, and I think you'll really, really enjoy it. He's quite a deep guy. He's got a load of different things to talk about, so I won't spoil it too much. We're just waiting at the moment for Kenny Shamrock. So Ken Shamrock should be on next week as well. And then the following week, we should be speaking to the legend of bodybuilding, Frank Zane. Should also be having Gunnar Peterson, who is a celebrity coach in terms of he coaches J-Lo, the Kardashians by memory. And then we'll finish it off also. Who we got the week after that? Lane Norton.
Yeah,
so
Bio Lane.
Great. Bio Lane will be coming on as well. So plenty to start the new year, guys. So we really appreciate your support. Guys, just remember, subscribe.
Leave us a 5-star review. Spread the love. iTunes, the Vision Board Podcast. Support the movement, guys. It's 2017. Jump on now, baby. We coming.
So just remember, guys, Friday's a bit of a freestyle show, just recapping. So let us know what you want to talk about.
For sure.
It's one of those things that we want to have a bit of, if you've got any questions, so when you think it could be, you know, some fitness-related questions, business-related questions, send them through, and we'll talk about them on the Friday show. That's, like we said, that Monday-Wednesday is going to be totally for the guests and for you to listen to interview shows. And then on the other hand, we've got a Friday wrap-up show, and it's a bit of a freestyle, and you get to ask some questions. We get to just recap what's happened and, you know, a little bit more value for you guys.
Yeah, I'm going to also give a shout-out to a few, two of my newest international clients, Jonathan Ceseda. We appreciate the support. You've been a fan of the show since jump. And then also, you know, he's out of Fredericksburg, Virginia. And also, last shout-out is Mary Floke of Long Beach, California. Stoked to get you on your way and your fitness journey as well.
Definitely, guys. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next week.
Rock and roll.
Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast, stories of success from around the world.
You guys are scratching an itch, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
Whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working harder. You know, nothing comes easy these days. And, you know, you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts. So just keep working hard at it.
You know, you guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are 2 for 2.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.